Amen. Thankful for the girls coming to sing for us this morning and to share in just a few minutes of song in order to prepare our hearts for the Word of God. If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 6 this morning. We'll do our best to preach what God's laid upon our heart, and then we'll close and you can move along with your day. And I hope even as you move along with your day that we always take time to be mindful to the Word of God, to be mindful to the voice of God in our lives. I think it's important that we pause from time to time and even just kind of just sit and think about the Word of God. I lost the word that I was looking for, but just meditate. There you go. That's the one I was looking for. To meditate on the Word of God and to meditate on what God would have us to do in our lives. I do desire you prayers this morning as we get into the message that God will just bless and I'll be able to get out the thought that God has laid upon my heart. Always doing my best to be mindful of Him and to preach what He's given me. I never want to get within myself or within my own ideas. I always try, if I'm going to give my opinion, try to make it very clear that I'm going to give my opinion. But I tell you, my opinion is not worth anything when it comes to being against the Word of God. So we'll always take God's Word as final authority, and I'll do my best to leave my opinion elsewhere. I'll give that to Autumn and the kids once I get home. But I do desire you prayers this morning. Again, I will ask you to pray with me and pray for me this morning that God will just bless the message this morning. God, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. And God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll just bless as we get into your word here for a few minutes. God, I know our heart's desire is to be back as a church family. God, I pray, dear Father, dear Lord, as we begin to see some things happening that may allow that before too long. God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll just bless us in knowing all the right decisions to make. God, I pray that you'll just bless in everything that we do. More importantly, God, I pray that you'll help us to seek you in our lives. And if we'll seek you first and seek your kingdom first, then we know that the Bible says that all these things shall be added unto us. And I believe that even includes knowing the right things to do in the right time. And God, I pray that you'll just bless in those things, God. God, I pray, dear Father, as we get into the message this morning, that you'll help my mind to slow down. God, that you'll help my mouth to only be obedient to you and let me and my opinion stay out. And God, I pray that you'll just help us as we get into the word this morning, that you'll just bless. Let your word speak to our hearts and to our minds, and may we always be mindful to your word. God, I pray most of all, if there's one today that's listening that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that has never repented of their sins and asked forgiveness of their sins, God, I pray that something that is said or done today will speak to their heart, that your Holy Spirit will be right there where they're at, and that you'll woo them, that you'll draw them, and God, that they will surrender their lives and ask Jesus Christ to come into their life. God, we thank you for saving old sinners like us, and it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, we'll be taking our reading this morning, and as we get into the Word of God, you'll notice really quick that God is kind of reminding, or using his men to remind the children of Israel of some commandments that he has given them here in the first few verses. And we know that the children of Israel had been in bondage over in Egypt. And as Moses and Aaron went and led the children of Israel out of bondage there in Egypt and was leading them to the promised land. And I know in my lifetime, I've heard people draw parallels of the promised land to heaven. And I guess that's okay if you want to do that for the point of a message, but the promised land is not really descriptive of heaven or not even illustrative of heaven in God's word. But as we get into it this morning, I want us to look at the reminders that God sent to the children of Israel. Let's start reading in verse number 1. It says, "Now these commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land, whether you go to possess it." See, he's telling them, he says, I've given you some commandments, and I want you to remember that as you go in to the promised land, I want you to remember these commandments, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I commanded thee, and thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. To do the commandments that God has given us, for first of all, it says in verse number 2, that it may prolong thy days. People are doing all kinds of things in order to live longer and everything else. But I want you to know, if we'll obey God's commandments, that God's word tells us that that is one thing that can prolong our days. But it also says in verse number 3, that it may be well with thee, that you may be well. You know, sometimes even here on this earth, whether you have sicknesses or trials or tribulations, if you're still being obedient to the commandments of God, you can still say it is well. Let's continue reading with verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Here in verse number 4 and verse number 5, you'll see that here at this time there was a problem with polytheism or serving many different gods. And of course, I believe that we are supposed to be believers of monotheism or believer in one God. And as you read verse number 4, as it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord, or Jehovah, which is singular there for the word Lord, the Lord Jehovah, our God, and the word there that is used is Elohim. And that word is plural. So you have the Lord Jehovah, singular, our God Elohim, plural, is one Lord. Again, Jehovah, singular. And you say, well, what are you trying to get at this morning? That our God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All three are one. It's a singular God. You can't have one without having all three. You can't separate them. They come as a package deal. And I'm so thankful because all three play such a role in my life and play such a role in my daily living for God. He says, our God, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So yeah, even though that our God is three, it is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that it is one God, and we are to serve that one God. My problem is that I allow some little g gods to get in my life from time to time. I allow some things to get in my life and get ahead of God, that my priorities get out of shape sometime, and I'm not serving the one true God, but yet sometimes I believe I even make myself a God because I'm not willing to deny myself, take up my cross and follow Him, but yet I want Him to follow me, and I want to say, God, I'm going to go do this, and I want You to go with me. God, I want to go over here, and I want You to protect me. And yet God says, I want you to follow me in verse number 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might, that He should be the one God that I am serving. Love Him with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And again, this is commandments that He is passing down. He said, I want you to remember these commandments. Let's continue reading. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. To put them deep in the heart, not just in your mind, not just in your mouth. To say that I know that I'm supposed to love the Lord thy God with all my heart, my soul, and my might. To say that I'm going to do it and to know it and to say it. But to also to put that in your heart and to actually make that part of your action plan every single day. It's amazing how sometimes we have all intentions to do things in our Christian life. We have all intentions to serve the Lord. We have all intentions to give the gospel. We have all intentions to do things that we're supposed to do. But yet that never makes it to our heart to make it a plan of action in our lives. Let's continue reading. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and that when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Not only should I make it a desire of my heart and to plant these things in my heart from my mind to my mouth to my heart, but then I'm also supposed to share those with my children and to be sure that these things are in my children's heart, to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, and with all thy might. There's so many things that I encourage my children to do. My son turned 17 yesterday, and I've tried my whole life to teach him different things in his life. I've tried teaching him how to do this or how to do this. That, but I hope if I've done anything, I have taught him to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy might, that He is number one, because that is the way, the truth, and the life is through Jesus Christ. Verse number 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. They should be things that are in front of us at all times. They should be reminders in front of us at all times. I can remember growing up when Mama was trying to teach us Bible scriptures, that we would walk in the bathroom maybe before school and begin to get ready to brush our teeth, and you reach for the light switch, and there would be a little piece of paper taped to the light switch there. And it might say something about the Lord is my light and my salvation. Or it may say something about ye are the light of the world. Mama was always doing stuff like that to be sure that the Word of God was always in front of us. You know, I was watching Silas shoot some basketball yesterday, and I could almost feel tears coming in my eyes because I'm not sure whether he's going to get to have his senior basketball season or not. I love to watch my kids play sports. My son and my daughters, I love to watch them all play and do the wonderful things that they do. But I want to tell you something. There are times that I need to encourage them in those things. There are times that I need to encourage them in their schoolwork, their academics, their athletics. But I want to tell you what, more than anything, I need to be sure that I'm putting the Word of God in front of them, that I am driving them, that I am pointing them to the answer in Jesus Christ and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I know that some of us, we're in a place right now that we're encouraging our kids and trying to point them either to a college or a career or whatever it may be. But be sure that we point them, to this more than anything in the world. Be sure that we point them to God's Word. Verse number 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land, which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee... my allergies are wearing me out this morning. Let's start with verse number 10 again. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land, which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things, which thou filledest not, and wells digged, which thou diggedest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Verse number 10 and verse number 11, I couldn't help but think about these verses as the girls were singing this morning, and they said, it has been a long journey, but I have been blessed. You know, in the last little while, we have all taken some note of some hardships maybe that we've gone through. We know people who maybe have lost their jobs. We know of different things that have come in people's lives, and it seems like there's been some hardships that's come along. But I want you to take a look for just a minute. I want you to realize just how blessed we are. I want you to look, even as they were reminding here, to be sure that God is number one in your life. He says, and when you come into the promised land, you're going to get things that you haven't worked for. You're going to get things that you don't deserve. And I want to tell you this morning, as I look at my life and the way that I have lived my Christian life, and I do my best to follow after God, but I still fall and come short. I still absolutely fail sometimes. When I look at what God has blessed me with in my life, I surely don't deserve the blessings that God has given me in my life. Just as he was telling them, he says, you're going to be into a land, and it's going to be a land where there are houses full of good things which thou filledest not. There's going to be things in your life that you didn't put there. Look in your life this morning and think about the things that God has given you that you didn't deserve, that you didn't work for, that you shouldn't have. There are going to be wells which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. And when thou shalt have eaten and be full. I'm glad this morning that God has satisfied my life. He has fulfilled my life through his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse number 12. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name. I want to stop here for just a few minutes, and I want us to discuss a couple of these verses. As we're looking at these children of Israel this morning, as we're looking at people who were brought out of bondage, and we were looking at people who were brought there out of Egypt where Pharaoh was just abusing them, and then God sent Moses and Aaron to deliver them out, and they go there through the wilderness, and we know that the trip should have been a short trip. We know that it shouldn't have taken very long to get from Egypt over into Canaan. But there they were in the wilderness for 40 years. And as they were there, there were some lessons that God was teaching them as they were going along. First of all, as they come out of Egypt, the first thing they do is they run up on the Red Sea. And they realize that they can't cross the Red Sea. They realize that Pharaoh's army is coming from behind. There they are. They're trapped. And all of a sudden, they begin to murmur and they begin to complain. And they say, we would to God. We wish that we were still over in Egypt. They wanted to go back. As they crossed the Red Sea and as they traveled out there in the wilderness, there were multiple times that maybe water was short, that food was short. And again, they would say, we wish that we were still back in Egypt so at least we wouldn't starve to death, or at least we wouldn't thirst to death. And every single time God provided for his children, we can see that multiple times they said, we want to go back over into Egypt. Well, you know, as we've been going through this pandemic that we've been going through, I have said it myself, and I know what I mean, and I know what you mean when you say this. But I want us to be careful and be mindful of something this morning. There have been many times that I've said, I don't want things to go back to normal. I want to go back to church. I want to go back to doing this. I want to go back to doing that. But I want us to look at something this morning. We need to be careful that we don't go back. See, I believe that God has taught us some important lessons in the middle of this thing. I believe that God has showed me some things in my life where maybe my priorities were out of whack. I believe that God has showed me some things in the middle of this wilderness, if you will, that I've been in, just as he did the children of Israel. And I want to say something to you this morning and say something to myself that as I look, I hope I'm not saying I want to go back. But the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28 that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. And I believe that even in the middle of what we're going through, in the middle of this wilderness, I believe that there's some things that God is using for my good. I believe that there's some things that God is using for your good. And we need to be very careful that we say, that we don't say, I just want to go back. Because just coming back to church won't be good enough. See, I don't want to just come back to church. I want to come back to church, to a church family that is ready to worship God, that is ready to raise their voices unto a God that's brought them through the wilderness, that is ready to raise their voices to a God that has provided for them and kept them in the middle of a storm, that has saved their soul and delivered them and redeemed them. I don't want to just go back to the way things were. I want us to learn from what God has taken us through. I want us to learn from where we've been through the wilderness and the lessons that God has taught us. We don't need to say, I want to go back, but we want to say, God, I want to take what you've taught me, and I want to go forward for you. I want to worship you the way that you deserve to be worshiped. I want to praise you with all of my heart. God, I want to love you with all of my heart, my soul, and my mind. I don't want to just go back to normal. I want us to go back, and I want us to go forward to the way that God wants us to be, just like he was preparing the children of Israel to go into that promised land. There's a way that God wants us to be as a church family. There's a way that God wants my life to be in a relationship with him, and I want to go to that. I don't want to go back. As we look here in verse number 12, I hope somebody's screaming amen at home right now. I hope you're with me. I don't want to go back to normal. I don't want to go back to just same old, same old. I don't want to go back to coming to church and expecting this to happen and this to happen, and everything happens in this little order, which is not going to be that way when we come back anyway. It's going to be so different that we might not even know what to do. But I tell you what, more than anything, I hope that we're coming back with a new appreciation of the ability and the opportunity to come together as a church family, as an opportunity to come together in one mind and one accord, and to use this place for a place of worship. I don't mean that we have to be running the aisles and jumping the pews, but what I mean is to bring a heart of worship into a God that is truly worthy of our honor and our glory and our worship and our praise, to come to church not taking it for granted that we have the opportunity to be here, that when we open our mouths to sing, that we sing unto the Lord, that it's not so much about what it may sound like to the people in the congregation, but what does it sound like to a heart of a God that deserves that song of praise? That maybe we don't come back just to somebody's coming and preaching a message to us, but we come back to a church that has been preparing this week, that has spent time in the Word of God, that their relationship is right with God, so that when someone shows up and they're lost without Christ, that God's Holy Spirit can touch their lives and they can be changed before they leave the service that day. But see, well, I want you to see what happened here and what he was warning against, even with the children of Israel. He says, I want you to realize that when all that happens and you reach that promised land, I want you to be careful. Verse number 12, he says, then beware lest thou forget. Then beware lest thou forget. The Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Be sure that when you get there and things get good and things go back to normal, let's not strive for normal. Let's strive for going forward. But when we get there, let's be careful that we don't forget where we were. See, I don't want to forget what my life was like before this. I want to know this is the lesson that God taught me in the middle of this, in the middle of that wilderness. I want to know this is the lesson that God taught me in the middle of maybe a tribulation or a trial or a trouble. I want to know the lesson that God taught me. I don't want to forget it. I want to use it to go forward and to love the Lord thy God. Look, verse number 13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Lift his name up and praise him and give him honor and glory. Thou shalt fear the Lord and serve him. I don't want things to go back to normal. I want things to be extraordinary when we're able to come back. lest you forget. How many times have we prayed for God to deliver us? Have we asked God to work in a situation? When God did it, we took it for granted and we forgot what we had asked God to do. I've shared this illustration with church family a time or two, or this story. There was a night that Silas had a fever, and we had, Autumn had give him the medicine. I won't say the medicines because I always mix them up and say that she gave him the wrong medicine. So I'll just say she gave him those medicines to break his fever. And it didn't seem to be working. And I was a young dad, didn't have a clue what we were dealing with. And she said, if his fever doesn't break, we're going to have to go to the emergency room. Then it set home with me, and I realized how serious it was. And I went in there and I crawled in the bed with Silas and wrapped him up. And I began to pray and I said, God, please, if it be your will, if it would please you at all, let his fever break. And I didn't any more than say the words, and I felt the sweat beads pop out on Silas, and his fever began to break, and he began to cool down just a little bit. And in that moment, I worshiped the Lord, and I praised the Lord in that moment. And you know, it was something that deserved for me to tell what God had done. We're going to get to that here in just a minute. But it deserved for me to honor him. But you know, I went back to church maybe the following Sunday or the following Wednesday, whichever one it happened to be. And when it come time for our prayer request and our praise, I didn't breathe one word of what God had done for me. See, it was so important to me at that very moment. It was so important that I called out to a holy and a righteous God and asked him to be right there personally with me. And he was. He done his part. He done exactly what I asked him to do. But in just a couple of days, I forgot. In just a couple of days, I forgot the tribulation that I was in, the situation that I was in, and the way that God moved. And I don't want to forget, just like he's telling the children of Israel here. He says, beware when things get good over here in the promised land. Beware lest thou forget. I don't want to forget. Church, I don't want us to come back to what we were. I want us to come back as the church that God wants us to be. I want us to come back as the church that God desires us to be. Verse number 14, you shall not go after other gods. We need to stop putting things in front of God. We need to stop putting, I do it in my life. I'm sure that you do it in yours. If you'll be honest with yourself, that there's things that gets in front of God sometimes. Hey, we need to stop that. Let's not forget, you shall not go after other gods. Other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. I'm going to just talk about the remainder of the verses here this morning for just a minute. If you'll continue to read in verse number 20 through verse number 25, you'll see where they're instructed to continue to tell the story, to tell their children and their children's children. You know, I've heard some of my daughters say that in some of their classes at school, that they've been told to get newspaper clippings about what's going on and to save little things about what's going on, because this is history that is being made right now through this pandemic. And one day you can go back and you can tell your children about those things. Well, let me ask you something. I believe that that is some good advice, and I believe that one day they'll like to go back and tell their children about this pandemic that we're in the middle of, this novel coronavirus. I believe that it'll be interesting for them to go and tell their children about and say, you know, school was canceled and this happened and that happened. I believe it'll be interesting for them to be able to tell that. And that is if the world stands that long and Jesus don't call us out of here before then. And I think that's very possible also. But I think one day that they'll be able to go back and show their children that, and it'll be wonderful. That'll be just cool as everything to go back and show that. But I want to ask you something. Have you shared with your children the coolest thing that ever happened to you? Maybe you've pulled out your old annual and you showed them you standing there with your basketball uniform. Or you standing there in your cheerleading uniform, or pulled out an old report card and showed them just how smart you really are. Or maybe there's things that you in your old yearbooks that you've pulled out and you've showed them all. But I want to ask you something. Have you sat down and shared with them what Jesus Christ did in your life? how God changed you, how God took you, and maybe you was in a bad state, or maybe you were just a good moral person just lost without Jesus Christ. Have you set them down? Because if you continue reading verse 20 through verse number 25, that's exactly what he says. You need to be sure that you pass this down from generation to generation. Don't forget. Don't let it be forgotten. Let others know. Let your children know what God means to you. Let's not go back. Let's not forget. And let's go forward and be sure that we're pushing forward into the next generations. Just how good of a God that we really serve. Church, this morning as we've come together, I know that this has been a different type message. I know that it's been one that stomped my toes, that as I read and studied this week and God began to show me these things, I believe that there's some things that's happened in my life that God has done in my life that I've allowed myself to forget, that I've allowed myself just to let it lay idle over here when God deserves honor and glory for it. I know that there's things in my life that gets ahead of God from time to time, that there are things that sometimes they slip in front of Him in my life. And it's not on purpose. It's just things that happen sometimes. And I do believe that there are times in my life when I have pushed my kids in their academics, their athletics, in just life in general, and God and their relationship with God, has it been pushed like it should have been? This message to me this morning was just probably to me. And you're just getting the enjoyment of having to see me suffer through a message that I'm so guilty of. As we look in God's Word this morning, I'm so thankful for the reminder that God has given us. What I want to ask you as we've come together this morning, as we've looked in God's Word, is maybe God sent this message for you also. Maybe you found yourself in the same place that I've been, that I've forgotten, that I'm not pushing forward, or maybe that I'm looking to come back instead of looking to be in the place where God wants me. Now, you're the only one that can do anything about it. Just as we read back in verse number 4 and verse number 5, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might, as we've read that, the only person that can make that happen is me. The only person that can make changes in your life is you. Where is your relationship with Jesus Christ? As Jennifer plays something for just a moment, as you take just a moment, maybe with your head bowed and your eyes closed, and you just think about your walk with Christ. First of all, I want us to look and be sure that we are where we're supposed to be. That we've not forgotten. And that we don't have anything in our life that's in front of God. Get yourself right, as I had to get myself right. Then I want us to think about, what are we doing to push the gospel further through our kids, through others in our life? Let's handle those individual things in our life right quick. And then, church, I'm so thankful for the visitors that we've had through this Facebook Live. We've had some that has been with us every Sunday morning, and I thank you for being here with us. But just for a minute, I want to talk to Fellowship Baptist Church. Church, are we preparing to go back? Or are we preparing to be the church that God wants us to be? I know it's been tough spiritually not to be in the house of the Lord together. The time's coming when we'll be back together. But are we preparing to go back? Or are we preparing to be the church that God wants us to be? Maybe you're listening this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want you to know that Jesus Christ gave His life for you. He knows the sin that's in your life. He knows that you can't live it. He knows that you're going to fall and make mistakes and come short, and yet He still says, I love you and I want you to be my child. The only thing you have to do, realize that you're a sinner. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and confess Him as your Lord and Savior. That's what it takes to be saved. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for all that You do. God, I believe sometimes the reason it's so tough to preach these messages is it's hard to preach when you're guilty. It's hard to preach when you're convicted. God, I know there's been so many things in my life that You've done for me that I just forgot. When things returned to normal, when things got good in my life, I just forgot it. God, I want to say I'm sorry. God, I want you to help me to never take you for granted. God, help me to learn through this wilderness. God, help me that I'll keep you first in my life. God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll help me, that I will instill this in my children. God, that there will be a furtherance of the gospel. Man, what a responsibility you've given to me to be a pastor, to be a preacher. I'm so unworthy of that. But God, more than that, you give me the responsibility of children to instill the word of God in their life. And God, I pray that you'll help me, that I will do that the way that I should. God, I pray for Fellowship Baptist Church. God, I pray as we begin to think about being able to be back in the sanctuary, that we're not coming to come back. That we don't want to return to normal. But God, we want to be in the place that you want us to be. We want to be in the right relationship, in the right fellowship, and that we want to come in here and worship you and praise you, give you honor and give you glory. Because I believe that when we as a church come together to do that, that God, you will draw sinners to this place. When we get ourselves in the place that we can be used, you will draw sinners here, and God, people will be able to come in here, feel the Holy Spirit, and they will come to know you as their personal Savior. God, I pray that you'll put that desire in our hearts and in our lives. Again, I pray if there's one today listening that don't know you as their Savior, I pray that today will be the day that they come to know you. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you for being with us this morning. I know message was a little different this morning. I'll try to do a little better so God won't send those tough messages to me that I have to share with you. But I also desire your prayers that I'll always be exactly what God would have me to be. God has given me a great responsibility as a preacher, as a pastor, just as a Christian in general. And I ask you to pray for me that when the devil comes along and lays those temptations, those things in my life, that I will be able to lean on Jesus, trust in Jesus, see that wave escape, and never fall for what the devil puts in front of me. Church, I want to tell you this morning that I do love you. I am so excited about the opportunity that we have to come back together before too long, maybe with some special restrictions and different things. And again, just be praying for us that we'll make the right decisions in that. And we'll do our best to communicate with you just as soon as possible of how all that's going to take place. But in that time, as you're praying for us, pray for yourself also and ask God to prepare your heart to not go back. But let's come and be the church that God's called us to be. Good Lord willing, nothing don't happen. I'll see you Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Have a good week.